Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Most of the ink comes from soy products, and so it's not going to do any harm. And a soy, certainly paper, cardboard, shredded paper, cardboard, and then there's certainly the debris from around your house, and certainly the green and brown refuse from your garden. And here's how you build your compost. She says, take three pallets, nail them together, and certainly use that as where you're putting your compost. At least begin preparing for next fall. But right now, it's time to begin thinking about planting. Now, if we suddenly have our soils, can we add manure to it? Can we add compost to it, commercial compost, at least to get started for this year?
Yes, that once you get on the manure, you don't want to use any fresh manure. You want to make sure that it's well-aged, that E. coli is the first thing that crosses your mind on pathogens and other things that are in there. So make sure that if you're putting manure on your garden this late in the year, that it's well seasoned, that it's not wet or clumpy, that it's dry and looks like compost. Anything you buy packaged is going to be like that. Anything you get from the cattle yards, you want to be careful of. The difference between your manure, a horse manure, if you think, once again, the horse has one stomach. That means it digests its food and it's put through, and it's going to be relatively filled with seeds. A cow has four stomachs, and it's going to process that, and there's very little weed or grass seed that makes it through cow manure. And chicken manure is going to have no seed in it. If you think about the way they work with their gizzard, it grinds everything up. But the chicken manure will be high in nitrogen. You never want to put chicken manure on your garden unless it's well seasoned. It'll burn your seeds, but it's a great source of nitrogen. If you're lacking nitrogen in your garden, or if you're growing a nitrogen-hungry product like corn or peas, chicken manure is an ideal supplement for the garden. And we raise chickens as well as all the other things that we do, and the chicken manure goes directly on the areas where we're planting corn and onions and peas, because that's where the high nitrogen use is. And just as a side note on the nitrogen, if you're planting peas, peas are not native to America. They're a European seed, and we do not have native in our soil nitrogen-fixing agents. So you need to get a nitrogen fixer for your pea seeds if you want to get a full harvest. If you don't have availability to a nitrogen-fixing Rizon or something like that, go ahead and plant your seeds, but plant twice as many as you want to harvest. And then when you are at the end of the season, cut the plants off, leave the roots in the ground and till those in the ground, and that'll set you up with nitrogen-fixing agents in your soil for the next year.
Well, now, what's the best thing we can do for tomatoes to get a good tomato crop? I mean, tomatoes are ridiculously expensive. I went to the store today, and I couldn't believe the prices. I haven't been to the store with my wife for some years, and so we want to get a good supply of tomatoes in. Well, how can we prepare the soil for tomatoes?
But tomatoes are really, although that they appear to be difficult to grow, they're one of the more easy crops to grow. And the key to getting a good tomato is not growing a commercially hybrid tomato. The tomatoes you buy in the store are uniform. They have thick skins. They have thick meat and very little juice in them. So they can be harvested and shipped. That's the nature of them. So grow a good heirloom seed. And it's as simple as taking those seeds. And once again, let me digress just a minute to say there's a difference between germinating your plants and growing your plants. So germinate your seed, put them in a place where it's about 75 to 80 degrees on top of a refrigerator. It's a good place. They don't need any light. Put your seeds in soil, lightly cover them, water them, and put them in a plastic bag or with a plastic dome and put them on top of your refrigerator. And about 5 to 7 days, you're going to see the little guys popping out of the ground. That's when they need sunlight for photosynthesis. Then you put them underneath a light where they grow, or you put them in a greenhouse if you have that availability and let them grow. Once they develop the true leaves, when you see those little guys come out of the ground, they're going to have two little leaves on them, and those are the claudic leaves. They're not the true leaves. In about 10 days, you're going to see two little leaves coming out the middle. That are true leaves. Those true leaves are the ones that really produce under photosynthesis. And you take that, when those two leaves show, transplant them into a bigger container and give them full light either through your artificial light or in the greenhouse. Feed them now. Up until this point, they haven't needed any food. Anybody who sprouts, and sprouting is something everybody ought to do anyway, but anybody who sprouts knows that in that seed is everything necessary for that plant to develop into a full plant. That anybody sprouts have seen the seed once it's over 3 to 5 days, blossoms out, it has a stem, it has a root, and it has those two little claudic leaves on it. But at that point, when you're planting the seeds, it needs photosynthesis and it needs food. Feed your plants. We feed our plants with a mix of worm poo and rabbit poo and some natural organic fertilizer that we mix up into a tea. And every time we water them, we're giving them food. And they'll begin to grow and get thick stalks. In about 4 weeks, a tomato plant will be about 4 inches tall. It grows about an inch a week, and it'll be a thick stalk and a healthy dark green color. In about 6 weeks, it's going to be about 6 inches tall, and that's the ideal time to transplant it. If you're going to buy your plants to transplant, do not buy those big bushy ones with blooms on them. They've gone too far, and it's shock on them when you transplant them. So the ideal size for a tomato plant when you grow them indoors and you prepare them for outdoor planting is about 6 to 8 inches tall. There's it seems like we sell plant material, and it seems like everybody wants these plants that are 3 foot tall, and we sell them to them. But they're getting a plant that when they transplant it goes immediately into shock because they can't get enough nutrients through their root system. So the ideal size to transplant those plants is about 6 inches tall with no blooms or no fruit on them. If you have a transplant with blooms or fruit, make sure you pinch those off. And when you transplant, take the bottom two leaf props off and plant it deep into the soil, and that will help it when you transplant it. It'll give you a great fruit.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Buck. He's a master gardener, and these are the things you need to know. In fact, I think it's so important. You have to understand that when you're going to transplant your tomato plants, why, of course, you take off the bottom one or two rows of leaves and then plant the tomato plant much deeper than you ordinarily would think. You know, you don't want those roots sitting close to the surface. You want them down deep, and that stem that you're putting down into the soil will actually begin to grow roots off of it. Is that how it works, Buck?
Yes, that it's propagation is a word that you could use for that. That the ladies who like to grow the indoor plants like ivy and philodendron, they know that they can pinch off a piece of the plant and put it into water, and it'll actually build roots off of that node where the leaf was at. And so tomato plants has that same basic characteristic. When you pinch off those leaves, those nodes where those leaves were at actually grow roots out of them. And so when you bury it down below the bottom set of broth, you actually set two sets of roots, one at the bottom and then one at that leaf node. And so the feeding of the plant is doubled. And if you want good, vigorous plants that produce a lot of fruit, you'll have a double root system, and that'll allow it to produce more fruit. So that's an ideal way of maximizing your space, particularly if you're a container gardener, to get more fruit off a plant and better fruit.
Now, when we water, do we want to water deep? Actually, we have these planting boxes that have tubes to put the water down, really down at the bottom of the box. Or do we want to water the soil around the top of the plant? How is the best way to water, and how often should we water, and when should we put the fertilizer into water?
Well, the mistake that most novice gardeners make, and even some regular gardeners, is overwatering. Overwatering will do two or three things that's detrimental to the plant. Number one, it'll provide an environment where mold mildew grows. One of the most dangerous things you can have, particularly for tomato plants, is a mold or a mildew, or it's called in the new set, dampening off. And what that simply means is that right at the surface level where the water builds up, it will create an environment for enzymes and for mold growth, and it'll actually kill the plant. As the plant gets older, what it will do, if you overwater it, it'll force the plant to grow roots at the surface and not deep. So be careful and not to overwater your plant. If you have an irrigation system or if you have a yard system where you have sprinklers and that kind of thing, make sure you don't put those in your garden. You want to only water when you need it. Now, the best time to water is at dawn. The worst time to water is at night. If you're watering your plants at nighttime, think about what's going to happen. That water is going to set on the plants. It's going to set on the soil, and it's going to cause the plants not to be able to absorb that into the system, because when the sun goes down, the plant quits working. When the sun comes up, the plant starts working. The photosynthesis takes place where it generates energy and sugars from the soil. So you want to water in the morning early. You want to make sure that when you water, it needs it. Tomatoes in particular, you don't want to water unless they are completely needing water. Every 2 to 3 days normally for tomatoes for water. You can spend about $5 down at your local Grange or your local garden supply and buy a water meter that'll tell you when you need water. Test the depth of your soil about 3 or 4 inches deep. And if it's not moist you're feeling on your fingers, or if it doesn't read moist on the meter, then you water only as it's needed. If you water too much, you will ruin your plants.
All right. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Buck, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. This is the time to get the information you may need in the future. All right, Buck, and so how often should we actually fertilize those plants?
Well, the, when you plant, transplant or plant, if you're planting by seeds such as...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
But, of course, with your winter squash, well, of course, you can let them grow to a much larger size. You don't simply pick those when they're too small. Go right ahead with your discussion of squash. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Well, the winter squash, they're destined to grow to maturity. And they will, whether it's a acorn squash or a spaghetti squash or a butternut squash or we have, I think around 30 winter squashes that we sell. that they're destined to set and grow to maturity. And so you don't harvest them until the end of the season, until after the first frost. That most folks remember the old saying about the frost on the pumpkin. Winter squash, including pumpkin, which is a squash generally, there's a few that's not, are to grow to maturity. And then you pick them, and they store for a long time in a cool, dry place. You can put them in a root cellar or in your basement or in a cool, dry room, and they will keep for months. Now, if you keep chickens or other animals on your property, particularly chickens, they love the squash, the winter squash. And we grow squash and corn for our chickens, and we feed them through the winter with those as well as ourselves. But the winter squash is a great source of nutrients and for substance during the winter time. That I've had Hubbard squash and acorn squash that kept all the way into March and April, and it was just as good as they were when we first gathered them. And also, just as a side note, that if you garden and you're not in a hard freeze area, if you're a zone 5B and higher, your carrots grow, they stay great in the soil. Rather than harvest all your carrots and try to deal with them in mass, leave your carrots in the ground, mound some hay on top of them or some grass clippings, and the longer they stay in the ground, the sweeter they get. And some of the best carrots I eat is in March and April that was last year's carrots. And it's a great source for storing them as far as keeping them safely and good.
All right, fine. And so basically, really you have to know each vegetable. Each one has different requirements. Now, what about your fertilizing your squash? When do you fertilize them?
Well, the squash, like any other fruit-bearing plant, like a tomato or corn or okra or peppers, anything that's fruit-bearing, when you transplant them or when you plant them, feed them. When the blooms show up, feed them. And if they're a continuous fruit-bearing plant, such as a pepper or tomato, you want to feed them every 2 weeks or so a little bit. And what that'll do is it just enhances the fruit, and it keeps the plant from working so hard to get the nutrients so that it's not producing more leaves. The way that a plant produces food is twofold. One, through the root system drawing nutrients out of the ground. The second is through the leaf structure drawing energy for the sun for photosynthesis. The better you feed a plant, the less energy it uses in growing leaves for photosynthesis, and the more energy it uses producing food for product. So it's a gain to feed them in the amount of fruit and the size of the fruit and the quality of the fruit. If you feed them fertilizer, it doesn't have to work so hard, and so it doesn't put on more energy in the green matter of the plant for photosynthesis. It puts more energy into the fruit.
And, of course, the fertilizer you're using is this fertilizer that you prepared, plus the worm droppings, plus the molasses. Is that pretty well it?
Yeah, that we use here at our place for our garden. Of course, we start by augmenting the soil. We build our soil every year, the process you never quit. But what we use to fertilize our plants with is I've got depending on where I'm at, whether it's in the small greenhouse or if it's in the garden, the size of the container, whether it's a 5 gallon or a 50 gallon container, I've got, in our small greenhouse, I have a 5 gallon bucket with a aquarium aerator, just like a little pump with a aerator stone on it. And I put in a penny hose with the leg cut off, a couple of teaspoons of organic fertilizer that we sell on our site, and worm casting. And I let it sit in there, and as long as that bubbles, it gives it oxygen, and you have then the microorganisms that grow. And every time I water my seedlings in our greenhouse, I water them with that concoction, and it does a great job. In the garden, I do that about once a week, that I use the organic tea that we make. But those are great sources, provides direct nutrients to the soil. Nothing has to be broken down.
Hold that thought.
While the storm clouds gather, far across.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctors' education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
How they can get in touch with you, how they can get the information they need, do you actually produce the worm castings yourself, or how do you get them?
Yes, we have a worm farm we produce our own castings out of, as well as we build our own organic fertilizer that's here local to our house and farm. And we produce those two things and package them and resell them. We have availability through the worldwide Internet. So if you'll go to your address bar and type in seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com, all one word, it'll take you to our site. Or you can go to Dr. Stan's site and click on Heirloom Seeds. It'll take you here as well. You'll come to our front page, which will have a lot of information about how important heirloom seeds are and the dangers of genetically modified products as well as hibernation. It'll do you well to read some of those articles and see the importance of having a sustainable and renewable source at your hand. And then if you click Shop for Seeds, it'll take you into our store. In our store, you'll find a variety of things that we sell, including the worm castings and the organic fertilizer. But also, you'll find that we sell a variety of materials in here that'll help you in your garden, that we have prepackaged packs for gardens. The urban garden, if you're a container gardener, this is a good pack for you, or a small city garden, which will do about a 20 by 30. A large back garden is about a 50 by 100. We have tomato lovers packs for people who like tomatoes, and pepper lovers packs for people who like peppers. And herb lovers, for those who want to grow herbs and dry them and keep them for the year. We also sell seed banks. We have the Build Your Own Seed Bank, Survival Seed Bank, which if you buy more than $50 worth of seed, what we'll do is take that seed, we'll seal it in a Mylar bag, and then we'll pack it in a PVC container that's sealed, and that'll make it impervious to moisture, to insects and rodents, and that seed will store for many, many years. And we sell that also in a basic seed bank. A basic seed bank will plant about an acre of fresh produce and grain, and then also we have a personal seed bank, about a half acre. And then on top of that, we have single seeds that you can pick one or the other, whatever you'd like to have. We have over 250 different varieties of heirloom seeds. And then we sell sprouting kits. Everyone should be sprouting. Sprouting is a wonderful thing to do. You can be a gardener and produce product in 3 to 5 days with sprouting. We sell sprouting kits, which we use a hemp bag. The hemp bag it does not saturate with water. It doesn't allow mildew and mildew to grow. And it provides a great environment for sprouting. You put your seeds in there, 3 to 4 tablespoons of alfalfa seed or clover seed. You rinse them over a period of 3 to 4 days, and then you'll see the sprouts there and have a fresh source of nutrients after 3 to 5 days of sprouting. So we have a lot of things for you to look at, and we have some information on growing. And if you wonder when you ought to plant in the part of the country you live in, you click on a category such as beans or corn or any other plant, and it'll take you to a link that tells you what growing zone you're in and when it should be planted according to the time that you live. So take time and spend some time, browse the site, and avail yourself to the information. If there's something you want to buy, we take Visa, MasterCard, and all forms of credit cards as well as PayPal.
All right. Well, my telephone number, if you have a question for Buck, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's get that telephone number out again and repeat it twice, please.
You betcha. That our toll-free number is 888-866-9132. Toll-free, 1-888-866-9132. And that'll take you to our office, and we'll be glad to help you with any questions you have.
Well, now, can you sprout beans? Can you sprout other products besides, you know, just what most people sprout?
Yeah, the sprouting of regular beans, pinto beans, navy beans, lima beans, white beans, those kind of beans that if you sprout them, you don't want to eat them as sprouts. That they will cause stomach pain on a lot of people. But what I do, that matter of fact, for our evening meal tonight, we had beans, and I sprouted those beans before I cooked them. I sprout them for 3 days. And what it does is allow them to cook in a much less time, but it also provides a earthy, rich flavor to them. It's a difference in the flavor of the beans. Well prefer them doing that. But you don't want to take your dried beans, like I said, such as your pinto or your lima beans or your navy beans, and sprout them and eat the sprouts, because it can cause some stomach discomfort. But you can sprout things. You know, peas are great sprouts. Alfalfa is great sprouts. Clover, radishes, broccoli. Most of your vegetable seeds will sprout and make a good sprout to eat. But as far as your dried hard beans, you want to be careful not to eat those as sprouts, because they can cause some stomach discomfort.
All right, fine. Well, certainly it's time for people to begin thinking about that garden, you know, getting your tomato plants in. And is it too late to go ahead and put the tomato seeds in the ground? Or certainly said, can we still do that?
Well, the tomato seeds that, and a lot of folks don't know this, but tomatoes and peppers are considered tropical fruits. They're not native to America. That if you live in some of the southern zones that is a 9 zone or higher, such as Florida or southern Georgia or South Carolina, Louisiana, places like that, you can sow your tomato seeds directly into the ground and you'll get a harvest. But if you're up in a zone 8 or lower, you can't just sow the tomato or pepper seeds in the ground and get a harvest. But it takes somewhere between 55 and 85 days, depending on the variety, from the time that the seed is germinated till it produces fruit. So what you want to do if you're planting tomatoes or peppers is you want to start them indoors about 6 weeks before the last frost date. And so we're determining where you live. For example, we're in southern Oregon, and we're a zone 8A. And our last frost date is towards the end of May. So about the 15th to 18th of May is when our frost date is. And so we'll start our tomato plants 6 weeks before that and our pepper plants 8 weeks before that indoors. And a lot of folks say, well, that's a lot of work. Why would you want to do that? Why don't you go down the store and buy them? Well, if you buy tomato seeds from us or pepper seeds from us, you're going to pay about $2 for 25 to 30 seeds. If you go down to the local nursery or to the big box store and buy a tomato plant, you're going to pay $2.50 for one plant. So the sheer dynamics of the economy play off. But on top of that, you're in control of your product from the time that it germinates till the time it produces fruit. Nearly every nursery in America, when you go to buy a plant from them, has already infused that plant with artificial fertilizers. It's been the fungicides have been sprayed on the plant, insecticides have been sprayed on the plant, and a chemically based fertilizer has been placed into the plant. So you've got this plant that has been already infused with all these foreign objects, and you put it in your ground, and now you're going to get whatever is in that plant producing the fruit. So you want to make sure that you can control your food source from the beginning to the end. And planting the seeds, along with just flat being fun, there is nothing like seeing those little guys pop out of the ground. My wife and I call them our children, that we go check on our children and water our children and feed our children. It's such a wonderful experience seeing them pop out of the ground and producing into strong little plants. And you transplant them and you put them in the garden and they grow up. You're a part of the process of the food that you eat. And it's an exciting, invigorating, and wonderful experience to see how God takes something the size of the head of a pin and turns it into this 6-foot plant that's producing fruit the size of a softball. It's fun to do that, and it's exciting to do it. And if you have children, they are excited about it. My oldest grandson is 14, and he's joined with us this year on the farm, working in the nursery and planting the garden. And he is so excited about the goings-on of agriculture that it's a new view for him and an excitement that he hasn't had before. And everybody who gardens understands the excitement of taking a little bitty seed and seeing it grow into this wonderful plant, and they get to eat the labor and the fruit of their hands. Everybody ought to garden.
Well, you know, I don't know how anybody can actually plant a seed, a garden, and not realize there has to be a divine hand behind in guiding this. It's just, this could not happen simply by accident or by evolution. I mean, there is a plan, and that seed has within it everything that's needed for the development of a full plant and for development of fruit that will give seeds that will create another generation. It's the most amazing process. It goes on year after year after year. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Buck, why give us a call? What sort of response do you get from the various people who call while you're aligned there, call your business, and are ordering the plants? Are a lot of people actually ordering the long-term storage seeds with the idea that they're going to bury them or put them aside in case they need sometime in the future, and they're not going to be readily available?
We have a large clientele that buy the survival seed banks for the ultimate security. And I advise them who buy them, if you're a gardener, then buy that, and then every 3 to 5 years, plant that garden and buy another one, just so that you stay current all the time. But most of the folks that buy the survival seed bank are at the same time, they're buying either a large garden or a small garden pack as well, because they want to start gardening now. To have a seed bank and you don't know how to use it is like having a gun that's unloaded. It's absolutely useless. You need to know how to grow your food. And if you're not a gardener now and you order a survival seed bank and then a year or two you decide, man, we have to grow a garden, chances of success is not going to be great because you don't have the skills. Everybody ought to be gardening. Start with, if you're not a gardener at all, start sprouting. And then move to that to doing some easy gardening, such as planting radishes. And radishes are an easy get. If you don't have any spare space, get a gutter at the big box store, put caps on, drill a couple of holes in it, and put soil in it, and sow radish seeds. And in about 5 to 6 weeks, you're going to have radishes to eat. You can do that with lettuce as well. Start gardening. If you don't know how to garden, start gardening so you know how. And I'm with you on this, Dr. Stan. I think things are changing in such a way. We don't know what they're going to be at the end of the tunnel, but we know we're going through a tunnel. And I know those that can provide for themselves, no matter what generation they lived in, have always had an air of security that nobody else does. And so you need to learn to provide for yourself. You need to get close to your food sources. That right now in India, they're going through the largest biometrics registering in the world. And what they're doing is people who want food, they're having them to register with an eye scan for their IR scan. And they're registering the people to make sure they get food. Governments will always use food to control the population. Those that can throw back to the 30s and the Great Depression, remember the soup lines, people standing in line for food. If you have an ability to provide food for you and your family, you're going to be ahead of this. My mom and dad both went through the Great Depression. They both were raised on farms, and they never missed a meal. And so you need to be able to individually provide for yourself without depending on the government, on the systems that the government provides. That you need to have a food source that's close and local to you, sustainable and renewable. And the greatest way to do that is through gardening. And once you garden, if you have product that you produce, you can barter that for other needs you have. And so start gardening today. Make sure that you know how. Make sure that you're good at it. And it may be a time in the future where the people who know how to grow food are going to be the most important people in the neighborhood.
Well, now, basically, is there a real advantage to having a greenhouse? Are there certain things that you can grow in the greenhouse you can't grow elsewhere? Are there certain things you can't grow well in a greenhouse?
Well, greenhouses are a great asset for cooler climate areas. That a greenhouse can be as simple as a southern exposure on your house with a sunroom, or as complex as a 30,000 square foot building that's covered with glass and plastic. A greenhouse is simple. It's an environment where you can control temperature and allows natural light in. That we have a couple of three greenhouses around here. We have one that's designed for large production. We have one that's designed for germination, one that's designed for winter growing. And so when you think about a greenhouse, you think about it for two purposes. One is to assist in plants to grow and be transplanted, and the other is to grow in it naturally. A greenhouse in the zone 8B and higher or lower, down to zone 2 or 3, allows you to extend your growing season as well. Part of what we do here is we use cold frames or cold fracks. And so things like tomatoes, we'll put a hoop house over them of plastic that allows them to survive a frost. So we can put them out when the soil temperature is right, and we can protect them to give them about a two-week head start in the ground. And then wintertime comes, as the fall season hits and the first frost comes, we'll throw over it the frost protection and actually get a couple of weeks longer like that. In the wintertime, we can produce in our greenhouse most cold weather products through the winter, such as kale and lettuce and turnips, mustard, and those kind of things. We can grow year-round where we're at in Zone 8A. So a greenhouse is a great assistance for year-round production, as well as forcing plants to be able to put them out earlier.
All right, fine. Well, let's see. We have a caller here, and we've got Joe calling.
When you think about a greenhouse,
hi, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Okay, let me just turn off this load of noise there with the computer. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Joe's calling from New Jersey. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan, and to your guest, hi there. My question for you is, sir, what? I've been trying to grow potatoes, and I go to, like, the local, store, and I see the potatoes, but none of them have eyes on them anymore. I don't know why is that, but what would be the best way for me to grow potatoes? And do they always keep on growing, or? Okay, that's basically my question.
Yeah, the reason why you don't find any eyes on potatoes at the store is they spray them with a chemical that retards the eye growth so that they store longer. So you can't just go down the store and buy a bag of potatoes and plant them because they've been chemically treated to deter those eyes from growing.
Hold that thought. We're going to get back to Joe in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Okay, I'll listen off the
phone. Stay on the line, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Stay on the line?
Yeah, you stay on the line and go ahead and answer the question.
Okay.
So what you want to do, Joe, is you...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Click on the heirloom seed link. It'll take you to our store. Or you can give us a call at 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Buck.
Bless you too, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, fine. That was Buck Keeley from seedcatalog.com, and Buck does help us, but we really enjoy having him on. We've learned a lot from him, so we hope you have as well. Well, this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported. Now, we are involved in a spiritual battle. There really are secret societies out there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a conspiracy, but it is a spiritual conspiracy. It is a satanic conspiracy against God, and that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and they won't allow military chaplains to pray in the name of God, Jesus Christ. They won't let military commanders lead in prayer any longer. Certainly, our military is setting up governments throughout the world that are violently anti-Christian. They're under Sharia law, and they're simply closing down all the churches and driving the Christians out of Afghanistan and Iraq and out of Egypt and out of Tunisia and out of Libya. All the countries we're taking over are now violently anti-Christian, and this is not happening by accident. There's a conspiracy against God. You need to certainly get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk. It's on DVD, The Dark Secret, and our talk on The Forbidden Secret, and you need, of course, to get the syllabuses to go with them. You need to get my interview with Ambassador Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time when your government put Fidel Castro in power. Fidel Castro didn't win the revolution. The people didn't want Fidel Castro. Ambassador Smith was ordered by our State Department to go to the duly elected President Batista. He was elected by the people democratically, and to tell him he would leave Cuba the next day. And that meant Fidel Castro would come to power. And then he systematically murdered about 15,000 people. Some of them he shot himself in cold blood. And this is the man, David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to visit, and Fidel has come up to visit David Rockefeller. He's come up to talk to the Council on Foreign Relations, as well as many of the other murderers we've installed throughout the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we install leaders throughout the world, and we install the mullahs over there in Iran. And now we're going to work with them. And do we control them today? I suspect we have our people planted in key positions in the Iranian government, working in conjunction with the people in Washington, D.C. on the coming war. All of the wars are contrived, certainly. If you go into the background of how they manipulate us into the Vietnam War with the Foley Gulf of Tonkin incident, how they manipulated us into the war with Iraq, where we killed 1 million civilians. And of course, that was Colin Powell lying to the United Nations. General Colin Powell lied to the United Nations. And suddenly, George W. Bush lied to the American people about the weapons of mass destruction. Suddenly, you need to understand that our leaders lie to get us into wars, whether it be World War I or World War II or the coming war with Iran. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus. It goes into where all the wars came from, how they manipulated us into the wars of the past. You need to know the history of the past to understand the present. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. We hope you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. To a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Morning.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Fletcher. And we're going to be talking about the strange death of Sonny Bono. Now, most people remember Sonny Bono, Sonny and Cher, and then he went on to become a congressman. But what really happened to Sonny Bono? When, well, everybody knows he was skiing, he ran into a tree, but is that the real story of what happened? Do they actually, is there somebody who actually kills people here in the United States? Yes, we have a 4-CD set, we call it Deadly Assassins, where we actually interview 2 CIA assassins. One of them disappeared shortly after he came on the program and talked how he had had a contract to kill a presidential candidate. And that was, of course, Ross Perot. You remember when Ross Perot dropped out of the race for president for a time because he said there was a plot to kill he and his family. And this was the man who was supposed to kill him. Chip Tatum disappeared after being on our program. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they killed Bobby Kennedy. He was a presidential candidate. He was shot from behind the right ear where Saran Saran was standing 3 or 4 feet in front of him. He was shot from 2 inches behind the right ear. And suddenly they assassinated Martin Luther King, and then they had the audacity to name a national holiday after him. Nothing is it appears to be, and we've talked to Cindy, people who have been affiliated with other assassinations. I know William Cooper, who had interviewed in the past. William Cooper kept playing a program on where he actually was talking about the execution of Timothy McVeigh. And he had this woman who'd witnessed the execution of Timothy McVeigh, who'd been there. She'd been invited to attend. And she'd made a remark on radio. I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. So William Cooper kept playing that over and over and over again on his program. You'd hear it a dozen times as a woman would say, I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. That is until a SWAT team came out and killed William Cooper. I'm not talking things imaginary. I'm talking about things that really go on in the world in which we live. And now they're getting ready to take us into an unnecessary war with Iran. Oh, Bob Fletcher was kind enough to come on with us this evening on short notice to tell the story, something he spent a lot of time investigating. And that is the strange death of Sonny Bono. Bob, you pick up the story.
Well, sure, be glad to. And the sad part about Sonny's assassination was that I personally felt that I was kind of part of what put him into the situation where he ended up being taken out up on the ski slopes on over the Christmas holidays. And the reason I say that is that I had been involved with supplying Sonny supplying him with information for a couple of years, in going back to the Waco episodes and all of that, which...
But he was talking about actually investigating the CIA and drugs, wasn't he? Wasn't that one of the big reason they had to get rid of him?
Well, I yeah, but what had happened, that's correct. And what had happened, though, the Waco was a kind of a trigger for Sonny.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher, who's been on the front lines of this battle for a good long while. Go right ahead, Bob.
So Sonny was in the middle of that, and it was the first time the investigations or the artificial investigation. And it was the first realization, it really struck Sonny, that how corrupted certain people in our government were, and how they literally were involved with drugs, they were involved with starting wars and lying left and right, and of course having people killed and killing people, not only with the ridiculous wars and things that were going on, and the Iran-Contra thing had just been completed and all of that, and he found all the connections to that, the narcotics and arms smuggling and all. And I personally had put together a report that I was working on for quite a while, and it was it included all these different personalities that I personally had crossed paths with, and so I had all of this amazing information, and I had turned it to Sonny, and about, it was a long time, it was something like 6 months prior actually probably 9 months before he was killed. But he had my report for probably 6 months before he finally was able to get into it. And, of course, he had a few other reports on his desk that had come from other directions, including some things that Gary Webb, a fellow that had done a lot of exposés of reporters, had done a lot of exposés of drug connections and what have you.
And because Gary Webb had committed suicide after he had written about the CIA and drugs by shooting himself in the back of the head twice because he wanted to make certain he was dead. Go right ahead.
Right. His was one of the strange suicide deaths, of course, a whole giant list of those. But Sonny was one of the few people up in Congress. Number one, as I say, he became very emotionally involved with some of these things. He just was devastated. He knew there were crooks and liars and thieves, but he just couldn't imagine that these people that were at the highest levels of our government were involved with drugs and murder and assassination and all the rest of that. He was just taken way back to that. I supplied him with my report. He finally had gotten going over it carefully. They got back to me. I had even almost put it on the back shelf because they hadn't gotten back to me, and I thought, well, gee, it's another situation where just they're not going to be able to do anything.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was simply pointing out that he prepared a report on the CIA and drugs, and he'd given it to Sonny Bono, to Congressman Bono, and about 6 months before his demise. And Sonny was involved with a lot of studies and a lot of things. But finally, he got around to looking at Bob's report. And then he'd read the report. Sonny Bono, Congressman Bono, had read the report prepared by Gary Webb. Now, Gary Webb is another man. We have interviews with Gary. He was a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter from the San Jose Mercury, who had written about the CIA and drugs, and he had we actually have a book where he writes a chapter. It's called Into the Buzzsaw. We have a four-tape set by the same title. We have interviews with Gary Webb, and Gary Webb, of course, had committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. But Sonny Bono had read Gary Webb's report. He had read Sonny Bob Fletcher's report, and it was shortly before Sonny went off on a holiday at a ski resort that somebody from Congressman Bono's office contacted Bob, and what did they tell you?
Well, it was just around December, probably about, if I remember right, it was about the 10th or the 12th or something like that of December, and they finally called me back. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and they said, hey, Bob, we're going to go forward with the investigation. Sonny's gotten so upset with this thing. He's gone, and he's been able to set up a congressional inquiry that is going to take place immediately after the Christmas holidays, would be with the next year coming up, which, of course, obviously at Christmas holidays, we're talking 2 weeks down the road. Soon as they come back from the Christmas vacation, Sonny has complete subpoena powers already set up, and we're going to launch this inquiry. We want to utilize using your reports that you put into us, and they want to make sure, they said, we want to make sure that you're going to be available, that also you're going to be able to assist us to aim us towards certain people that will additionally help us as witnesses in this thing, and we are going to bring in the people, regardless of how high this thing goes. We're going to subpoena them, and if they don't cooperate, we're going to charge them with not cooperating under the subpoena.
But of course, I don't think Sonny Bono really understood that he was dealing with deadly people. People who would kill without giving it a second thought. People who are responsible for multiple murders, creating wars and assassinations and torture. And of course, he was certainly going to try to bring the truth out. But I do not really believe that he understood how ruthless the people were that he was going to be challenging, or the fact that they would not allow those investigations to go forward. There are congressmen back there who would like to get information out, but of course they either have been blocked or they have been assassinated, and they have killed congressmen. They've set them up on phony charges and sent them off to prison, as they did with Jim Trofikoff, as they did with Congressman George Hansen. A number of congressmen have met very mysterious deaths. Suddenly, Hale Boggs, who was on the Warren Commission. Congressman Larry McDonald, he died under, there's a great deal to suggest that the story you've been told about Congressman McDonald is not true, that he did not die when Korean Flight 007 went down, but that's a different story for another evening. But Bob Fletcher has a great deal of information on that story as well. But we're dealing with people who actually kill people here in the United States, and the reason you never hear about it is because we have six major corporations that control most of the major media outlets, and they largely control what the American people hear and read and see, which is why I do what I do 5 hours a day with our little network of 70 stations or so to try to get the truth out. But go right ahead, Bob.
So I of course, after already spending so much time on this and other related investigations, I was just elated. I couldn't control myself. I was so glad to hear that we were going to get launched on this thing. And again, Sonny was one of the people that just couldn't be intimidated. He couldn't be paid off. That was for sure. He had all the money he needed. He wasn't going to be easily scared off. And he was so upset by all of these things. He was just going to go forward. Like with my case, I've just continued with this. And so Sonny, finally, here they tell me we're set to go. And again, I've got to reiterate, the time was within 2 weeks of the end of the year. It was just before Christmas, and I was excited. I said, great, let's do it. I said, when you're ready to do it, give me a call, contact me, I'll come on out to D.C. or whatever has to take place. Everybody disappears out of Washington for their holiday. Sonny is on the ski slopes, and all of a sudden I get watching television, and I see that Sonny has been killed. I couldn't believe it, and I originally I just took it at face value, but I mean, and I didn't get over the edge with the idea of having somebody kill me. I guess I just couldn't believe it, although I've been involved with this stuff for so long, investigating these things. So I let a day go by with all that news coverage and all the baloney that they fed us on about him running into a tree. But, of course, I didn't have any more information other than I did have one bit of information that nobody had, or very few people, and that was what I just told you about, and that was that I knew that Sonny's big investigation was going to be launched in about 15 days. And now, had that investigation gotten started, Now, once it had gotten started, somebody had, if they had killed him afterwards, after it was started, somebody else would have carried on with it. So the big point here was the timing on this assassination, and that was that they absolutely could not permit, the bad guys could not permit Sonny to begin this investigation. So therefore, he had to be killed before he got back from the Christmas holiday, a window of about 15 days. And sure enough, that was what took place. So I called the close friend of mine up there in Sonny's office, who I had been dealing with on a one-on-one basis for a couple of years. His name is Frank Cullen. And I called Frank back immediately about 2 days after Sonny's death. And for the first time in maybe 3 years, Frank would not take my call. Now, when that took place, then I said, oh, good grief. This is what happened. He's been killed, and Frank has already been scared off, or something has taken place. So I gave it a couple of days, called back again, another couple of days, called back, and I've never spoken to Mr. Cullen again.
Now, this was as Sonny's administrative assistant?
That's correct.
Okay, fine.
That's correct.
And Chris, he was very close to Bob before this, and suddenly when Sonny's killed, why he would never talk to Bob again. So go ahead.
So I started, I said, well, I've got to investigate this. So I started pursuing, trying to find out more information about it. They had the sheriff, of course, from that area down there where the ski event had taken place, where he supposedly had run into a tree. I contacted all of those people, and I was trying to get the autopsy, which commonly, after, you know, a given period of time, those are public available, public domain. But I couldn't get it. I was being refused. So I knew of a private investigator that had been working with his family and contacted him, and he said that Sonny's own mother was not able to get this information. So then, of course, all that does is increase the likelihood of what had happened. So I pursued a lot of different directions, and then eventually, through knowing people, so to speak, I was able to receive, and I did get the coroner's report and the autopsy and the record of narrative of his death, etc.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, why would they suppress the autopsy report from his own mother? Well, ladies and gentlemen, they have to suppress information. And they do this all the time. But basically, you're not going to hear about this. You're not going to hear that they will not give the autopsy to the mother. Fortunately, Bob's been at this game for a long time, so we will not ask how he got the autopsy report. But I know Bob well enough to say that he would not make the claim he has it if he didn't have it. Go right ahead.
So when I finally got that, and then, of course, also I was expanding with people, my contacts with people that were directly involved, and that included a lady, a lawyer friend of Sonny, and the lawyer actually that was representing and a friend of Sonny's mother. And at the funeral, I make this particular point as a sidebar, at the funeral, Sonny's mother would not stop repeating over and over to everyone at the news media there. Right at the funeral, she was saying Sonny was murdered. They killed Sonny. Sonny was murdered. He didn't run into a tree. He was murdered.
And what's really so interesting is somebody had died of that same thing about a couple of weeks before. Somebody else, a prominent individual, had run into a tree. And yet, of course, I can't remember anybody else running into a tree for a good long while before or a good long while afterwards. But two prominent people are suddenly, killed running into a tree. I remember a cartoon at that time. It shows this fellow dressed like a tree. And he said, well, we're not going to be able to use this technique again for a while. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and you're right.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Levels of clothing, there was blood at every level of the clothing on his back, but no evidence of any damage to his back. So where did the blood come from, and did they ever bother to check and see whose blood it was?
Okay, and that's the problem. No, of course they didn't. They totally explained it. They didn't try to hide it. They explained that there was, in fact, all of this excessive blood on the back, but never gone into any explanation of it. And they indicated as, prominent blood stains. And, of course, it would have been anyhow if we were talking about penetrating four layers of clothing. Now, obviously, right away, it indicates that maybe it was not Sonny Flood. Maybe somebody had gotten a bloody nose or something attached to it from some other source, but they, of course, never got into that at all. And as far as I, there's absolutely never tests on the blood to make sure that it was his. That would have been the first thing that should have been done at that point. And then it goes on and indicates that there was a slight tear on the back of his jacket. But again, there was no wound at all. So it's just another red light. So then also, beyond the autopsy, and there's a multitude of problems with it, there was no, when they got into the internal autopsy, there was no bruising of his brain inside, which is called a contra coup injury. That is where the brain is actually shaken upon impact from a frontal impact, and it bruises on the back side of the brain.
But now, basically, were there bruises on his face and on the front of his body?
Yeah, what he had almost exclusively was damage on his, what would have been his right frontal side of the skull and his head up above his right eye and temple and that area. All right. Now, what happens commonly is that if you have a high-velocity impact that would kill you there, being struck in that place, running, let's say, either into a tree or if a person hits a windshield in a car accident, there is this contra coup bruising on the back of the brain from being shaken. All right? There was none of that at all. There was no bruising on the brain on the back and inside. All right. Right away, again, that's one of these things where 89% should have had a bruise. Then when they get into looking at his neck, they find out that there is zero injury to his neck. No trauma whatsoever to his neck. Now, commonly, many people, when they have a legitimate accident, as they try to describe here, they will have a broken neck, or the very least is that you absolutely would have a bruising or a slight injury, if not major injury to the neck. You would have, again, a slight injury to the neck, and there was none whatsoever.
You would think if he was going to run into a tree, the first thing he would have done was throw his right arm up to protect his head.
Right.
That's the normal thing you would do.
Right. Additionally, there was absolutely no bruising indicating that he had tried to stop the impact. Then, later, going beyond the autopsy, we had all of these little technical things that were just making it impossible for this to have been a collision with the tree. Additionally, one of the big points is the fact that they describe and measure and indicate the dimensions of the injury to his head, his front forehead, and up in the top there on the right side. That injury apparently is described as having a curvature to the bone. In other words, of a something that struck him that was curved enough to cause an impact, solid enough to cause an impact, an indention wound in his head that was of a curved nature. Again, here's where we get into striking the bark of an 18-inch diameter pine tree is not going to do that. It's not going to cause that small curvature impact that apparently they discovered on his head. So then we go and we say, well, okay, I had the opportunity again after quite a while to get the actual footage, video footage, that shows the immediate area, the tree that he supposedly struck. And upon review of that video, I discovered there is a huge 18-inch diameter tree that is down under the snow, but it is down in front of the tree where he would have theoretically impacted, making it impossible for him to hit that tree.
Hold that truck. We'll be back in a moment.
Let us swear allegiance.
alexjonespodcast.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. Alex Jones coming to you from the road in Houston, Texas. And then I prepare to make my way to Florida to visit one of our great affiliates, 810, there in Orlando, Florida, where I'll be speaking next Sunday, breaking down my blueprint to defeat the New World Order. I want to thank all of the amazing listeners that came out to the sold-out capacity crowd in Dallas, Texas, at the Lakewood Theater. Always humbling, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that coming up later in the transmission. Well, more than a little bit. I can't tell you how many active-duty military were there and how many police were there, including several Dallas police detectives that I ran into. And the fact that no one is buying that Ron Paul isn't really the front runner. Who's seen a Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich sticker? Who's seen a Santorum sticker? Now, why does Ron Paul get 70%+ of all the military donations? You see, where they can't cheating with straw polls and other systems that are fair, he wins. Or donations, he wins. The big rich guys, the big establishment types like Obama and, of course, Mittens Romney. You look at who gives them money. Number one, it's Goldman Sachs. Number two, J.P. Morgan. Number three, Citibank. Number four, Bank of America. And it's the same order and the same list. Kind of like the nightly news. It's the same sponsors. Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland Company, Eli Lilly, Prozac Pushers. Ads about how your kids need to be on Ritalin and Adderall. The order has taken over our society. Now, we're going to have for an hour and a half coming up today, Matthew Stein joining us. I had him on with us a few weeks ago for just an hour, and he is a industrial designer, design engineer from MIT. And separately, everything he's talking about, I've separately researched, and I'm not saying, ooh, I'm smart. I've researched what he's saying. I can just confirm everything he's saying is accurate from my own research and then it even to a higher level of understanding. I'm just saying what this guy is talking about is real and is bona fide. And, of course, he's a best-selling author. We're going to talk about both of those books that getting into what's facing our society. When Disaster Strikes, A Comprehensive Guide for Emergency Planning and Crisis Survival. And, of course, we'll also get into his other book. Both of his books are available right now at InfoWars.com. They're so good, so informative, that I decided to carry both of his books at InfoWars.com. That way you can get the latest up-to-date information when technology fails and when disaster strikes, and also support our transmission, which we couldn't do without you. That said, it's really weird how sometimes when you've got a high fever, it almost gives you more clarity and focus. And then when you come down off of being sick, it's almost like a reset. I haven't had a stomach bug or any type of real illness like that other than in about 3 years, and my wife got sick when we got to Dallas, and then I got sick really during my speech. I knew I didn't feel good in Dallas, and then when I got back, now we're and I basically sweated it out last night and broke my 102.5, 103 fever. And I quite frankly feel like I just fought 10 rounds in a boxing match, but I feel really good at the same time. And I just kept waking up all last night with that high fever. I was thinking about how real all this is and how incredible reality is compared to fiction, and the fact that we're all alive now and we have a chance now to take action, and just how how in the now all this information is. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Info warriors, people listening all across the United States and worldwide, and all the ships at sea. We are live. It is the 21st day of February 2012 on this Tuesday. I'm coming to you from Houston, Texas, and then I'll be on the road live here on the radio / video at prisonplanet.tv throughout the week. And we've got all the rest of our great crew, from Darren McBreen to Paul Watson to Rob Duda, Aaron Dykes doing the nightly news. And I've got a whole bunch of videos and reports I've shot on the ground that I'll also be uploading to our studios. We'll have those as part of the nightly news in the radio show. You know, I could just upload them now from my iPhone, but then I have to do that in low-res quality. And people are like, hey, how come this video isn't super high-res when you're on the road? Well, because I've then got to put it onto a laptop, and then I've got to sit there for 5 hours waiting for it to upload, even if the connections are, quote, okay. And I've got a bunch of video, and so I am now basically debating on air in front of people how I'm going to file these reports. But we got a lot of interesting stuff, very informative stuff for you as well. First off, we do have Matt Stein, who is a design engineer, MIT, best-selling author, joining us for an hour and a half. Coming up at the start of the next hour. He was on with us a few weeks ago, and he was breaking down the fact that when technology fails, when we're so dependent on technology, it can cause serious problems for a society, including complete collapse of our industrial system. And that dovetails with all the fear-mongering that the government's involved in, but the government is just using that as a pretext to take our liberties. They're not actually trying to set up an infrastructure that protects against that. Government and major corporations have been building their own secretive and private infrastructures, bunkers, you name it, while simultaneously demonizing those of us that do get prepared. So the establishment is digging in against I'm attacking anyone who tries to get prepared on their own right. Now, I want to get into the Iran situation, and we've been living with this threat, this intensifying threat for years now. And at a subconscious level, we all tend to just get the idea that it's a foregone conclusion, so hurry up and get it over with. Exactly what the globalists are counting on. Time and time again, they've said attacks on Iran are imminent. The Israeli president has said it. Our Pentagon has talked about it. It's been openly discussed. There is a low-intensity conflict or terror attacks going on inside Iran being carried out by the United States, Israel, England, and NATO on a weekly basis that is admitted. We would cover this 5 years ago and be called conspiracy theorists. We were just reading a White House press release. See, the White House, to have the Pentagon follow orders, a lot of times has to put something out public to say, see, we're on the news saying torture's good, like Rumsfeld did 8 years ago. You know, take the gloves off. Yeah, so what? Enhance interrogation. Or the military and others won't follow the orders. Or, hey, the military is speaking out against the fact that they're ordered to grow opium in Afghanistan. Well, as you know, 2 years ago, they just started having newscasts everywhere saying, yeah, the troops grow the opium. It's no big deal. They have to hide it in plain view to pretty much get people to accept it. And the same thing's happening with preemptive war. Dick Cheney even wrote in the September 20th, 2000 PNAC document of the Project for New American Century the fact that, hey, we need to legitimize to the media the use of race-specific bioweapons. And he's just calmly talking about we need to get with the media and legitimize the use in warfare of race weapons. Because Homo sapiens sapiens are all basically the same creatures, but the genetic variations are wide, and so of the sub-variants, there are big differences. And so they've known for more than 50 years you can develop a race-specific bioweapon that, say, will kill anybody of not just Asian descent, but let's say you wanted to kill Mesoamerican Asians, because that's what, quote, you know, people in Mexico, Latin America are. They're really Asians, Asians who then intermarried with Spanish. And Spanish are just really originally Northern Europeans who migrated into the area, who then were overrun by Moors, Arabs, and Africans. So that's why they're having these big race-specific studies. You see with National Geographic, it's a big eugenics organization, where they say, give us your DNA. We'll track your ancestry back 10,000 years. And that's why governments now admit that going back 40 years in 2012, it's now 40 years ago, that blood is taken from all babies at birth. They tell you it's for a blood test. Now that goes into a big global DNA database, because the globalists have got to study this properly. And the reason they haven't really released a lot of race-specific bioweapons yet, and they even talk about this and write about this, is that let's say Israel, who we know has worked on record with South Africa with a race weapon back in the 80s that would kill Semitic. Well, most Jews are at least partially Semitic. People are like, well, of course they're Semitic. Well, no, we don't think of the term Semitic as just a Jewish person. No, it's anybody from that area of Palestine, that area of the Middle East. That's Semitic peoples. And there's a whole list of Semitic peoples. And most Jews do have their roots in Semitic tribes. And so if Israel was to release a bioweapon, which we know they worked on with South Africa, to kill Arabs, well, that's going to blow back and kill a lot of Jews there in Israel and across the world. And it's the same thing. If a bioweapon was released to, say, kill Chinese, well, that would also kill most people of, quote, Latino or Hispanic descent, who themselves are taught that, well, you're part native, you're part Indian. I don't mean Indian from India, you know, Indian. Well, Indians are really Asians who crossed over the Bering Strait. They've done the genetic test. Is basically Chinese. Well, turns out Northern Europeans all. That's why you see Russians have Asiatic features. Because that's basically Viking Northern Europeans mixed with Asians. So that's the real problem with race-specific bioweapons. So the system has been working on developing specific race weapons that are that go after even certain common derivations that will target even subgroups, so that you've got to be almost entirely African for the weapon to kill you, or almost entirely Asian for the weapon to kill you. But, you know, the problem here is I literally have about, I don't know, 30, 40 articles here that I want to go over, and I didn't even intend to get into race-specific bioweapons today. I digressed off into race-specific bioweapons because I was simply talking about how the system wants to legitimize torture, race-specific bioweapons, warrantless checkpoints, every form of classical oppression you can imagine. Every day now. I talked 2-3 years ago about how the system was taking the gloves off, uncloaking themselves out in the open. Well, now the system, the controllers, that's intensifying on a weekly basis. I mean, in the last 2 days, I've probably seen, no exaggeration, 50 articles without even looking where they say, everything you're doing is being tracked. Everything you're doing is being traced. We're listening to you. We're going to grab the data off your phones without warrants. We're going to face scan you everywhere you go. We're going to arrest you if the camera says you're suspicious and the AI computer. We are launching AI self-aware autonomous drones in America. We are going to inspect your farm, your ranch, your home. We are setting up environmental police. We are going to raise your taxes. We are going to come after your families. We are going to set up a world government. We are going to bankrupt you. We are going to do it. I mean, it is just a complete, absolute New World Order offensive. And this is only the offensive before the real offensive. And I woke up at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. I woke up all last night. And the immediacy, the imminence of our threat, the immediacy of the crises of massive war with Iran, massive war in Syria, Iran, China involved, the immediacy of false flag terror attacks staged in this country as the pretext to go after the American people.
I almost have to wonder the way he worded this is if
I mean, I'll tell you, at about 4 in the morning, I finally decided before I went back to sleep that I needed to come on air today and openly ask the American people to pray to God to deliver us from this and to repent and to ask for a reprieve. Because all of the craziness and all of the corruption and all of the problems that we've seen so far are nothing compared to what we're about to enter. And I told you a year ago that when they start hyping Iranian domestic terror attacks in America, you can expect that the staged terror is about to come and that the big war is about to come. And sure enough, just like clockwork, they're saying Iran's going to attack U.S. bases, federal buildings. They're dispatching TSA with machine guns, federal security forces with machine guns, of course, harassing citizens when they go into the Social Security offices, you name it. And really, this is a cover for the martial law rollout. The globalists are full spectrum. They're not just going to attack Iran. They're going to attack us here themselves and then pose as the saviors. I'll explain it when we get back. We'll be right back.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo volar en el cielo infinito.
So I want to break down the immediacy of what we face. It's very simple. A powerful corporate special interest have taken control of our government and many other governments of the world, and they're openly getting rid of sovereignty, getting rid of any checks and balances that block them from engaging in any crimes they wish. And then they make it illegal to resist them, even politically. And that's what the New World Order is, if you had to really boil it down. It's a global corporate fascist bureaucratic dictatorship. And now it's out in the open. In fact, after the break, I've got some newscasts that the teams put together that I want to air here on the radio show from the nightly news. One of them is the Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution, and then that ties in with the Darren McBreen piece on false flag. That's coming up.
But I was looking for some more specific details. And
I want to discuss the immediacy of this, because, you see, to these globalists who always finance both sides or all sides of a crisis and then offer the solution, and then things get worse and they offer the solution to that because they want to consolidate power. You have to understand that when they attack Iran, that's because the war... that lets you shut up your opposition. That lets you get the no-bid contracts. That lets you set up a domestic system. And when you discover that the plan we're currently under is at least from 1982, and Wesley Clark, you know, talked about more than a decade ago, on C-SPAN, we've heard it several times, that he was at the Pentagon, you know, former, you know, head general of NATO, and that they said, yeah, here's the eight countries we're made, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to start with Afghanistan, then Iraq, then we're going to move to Libya, then we're going to move to Syria, then we're going to move to Japan. And it's not just Wesley Clark saying he was at the Pentagon and they said this. This is the plan.
Did you have any opportunity and then to talk to
you realize they're not trying to go in and kick out dictators and actually, you know, build industries and hotels so we can all fly there and visit the incredible, you know, resorts that could be set up there on the Mediterranean or the Red Sea or whatever. They're not doing that. No. In Iraq, in Libya, now in Egypt, and when they're done with Syria, they're kicking the old dictators out, many of which work for the globalists, and they are putting Al-Qaeda in. They are putting the Muslim Brotherhood in. That's like Al-Qaeda light. And then they admit it all over the news. Just the last few days, I've seen four or five mainstream articles admitting, yeah, Israel and the U.S. are using Al-Qaeda terror groups to attack. And they go, yeah, you know, this is no big deal. And yeah, the West is funding groups attacking from three sides in Syria. And yeah, 40,000 have been killed since the liberation in Libya. And Al-Qaeda is in charge, and they're killing the black Africans that are there. And they're killing and torturing government people, and they're torturing the, you know, the ambassador to France. And people are like, well, why did you do this? Why did you invade? Because they want to screw the country up. The globalists want to screw us up, Agenda 21. I mean, Ted Turner, all of them say, post-industrial world.
Anybody over 40, and
they want to wreck things. Because when they wreck what your society and your system and your taxes have built, they get to come in later when you're begging for anything. And you've accepted your lower standard of living. They just kind of let a country cook under collapse for a few years, like Argentina or others. And then they just come in later, pose as the saviors, and people accept the new tyranny. Because at least the tyrants will turn the lights back on.
You may have storable food questions.
And in 2002, I've been screaming bloody murder ever since then. Because I warned everybody then. I said, look, they're going to do what they did in Latin America and Africa and Asia. Here, because they plan it. Here's the documents. And I've been just sitting here screaming bloody murder, trying to warn people as best I can. And now we move into the even more out of control phase, where the globalists get to attack the Middle East. East and Central Asia, freeze-dried and Pakistan and Iran,
require little preparation,
and they've got all the aircraft carriers openly sitting there preparing for war with China.
Just add hot water
and Russia has vetoed the Security Council move to send their troops into Syria. But remember, 6 months ago, Hillary promised they wouldn't do. And she promised that it would only last weeks, well, days, not weeks. And so did Obama in Libya. And then they call a humanitarian to have CIA agent Anderson Astor Cooper up there on TV saying it's humanitarian. Oh my gosh, sometimes Assad is killing protesters when Assad is fighting back against Al-Qaeda forces that our criminal government runs. And it's hiding in plain view is what's frustrating. But we've got some good news on that front.
The story of Jesus.
We're going to break that down coming up.
The story of Jesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we are here.
Use it yourself.
Live.
That's the story.
And of course, I come back Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And don't forget, every weeknight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars at Nightly News. A great team we're assembling there. So even when I go out of town or on the road, quite frankly, the Nightly News is better in some cases. I love the variety. And I finally twisted Darren McBrain's arm into hosting the Nightly News last week. He did an exceptional job. It's an exceptional job. And when I get around to it, we are going to run a contest in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to start running it for video submissions across the country, where the winner will win a cash prize and will then be interviewed, because we're going to interview a bunch of people that give us submissions. You'll win a cash prize. I think it'll be like $5,000 for the best newscast news piece. And then you'll be interviewed to be a reporter at InfoWars. And I think I'm going to do two contests. It's time we get a female reporter. So it's going to be a female reporter. We're also going to hire a male reporter. I haven't decided all the details yet. I meant to launch it a month ago, but I've been so busy. But we're going to hire a couple new reporters / anchors and a lot more here at InfoWars.com. we're able to do all this because viewers and listeners have supported our sponsors and supported our online video bookstore. You've bought the t-shirts, you've bought the bumper stickers, you've supported the sponsors. Because of that, we're able to continue and expand in the face of this depression that the country and the world has been artificially put into. All right, let me, before I get into all these audio video clips here, let me just basically
does great work. He's reliable.
Talk to you. And I say this a lot because every time I look at the immediacy, the imminence of this, the 2 minutes to midnight nature of it, I don't feel worthy to even be covering this. And by that, it's kind of like that feeling where something takes your breath away. And you know how real it is, and you know how right you've been, and you just wish it was
tanking. Suddenly, it's just like somebody
happening. The globalists have had at least a 20-year plan, and we're now 20 years in. Launched the plan that I saw for 1982, Pentagon plan, working with the Israelis in 1982, of how they. The entire Middle East using overthrowing the governments and then bombarding and attacking those governments, backing up the proxies, playing the Shiites and Sunnis off against each other. And the order of the invasions, which they're following like clockwork. And again, this is not the Israeli government. This is not the U.S. government. These are not our governments. These are nations that have been captured by the globalists, England as well, that are being used to expand this global empire. And when Iran is attacked,
we know because one of the men,
Iran,
murder actually came forward.
And this whole crisis that's going to come out of it, and the asymmetrical warfare that we're going to experience, whether it's real or staged, the quote terrorist attacks are going to be used. Now, let me just briefly explain something here. Because every time I mention this, I see emails or comments saying that can't be true because it's so incredible. This was in Newsweek. This was in Time Magazine. You can just type in, Bush signed order to attack Afghanistan day before 9/11. He signed the order to launch the attacks 1 week from that point, the day before 9/11. In the 6 months before 9/11, 18,000 British troops and 44,000 U.S. troops massed in the stands, Uzbekistan and other countries around it. In 6 months, the weapons, the artillery, the helicopter parts, the troops, all of it, the aircraft carriers arrived 2 weeks before. Everything lined up, and then 9/11 happened.
24 hours a day.
As the reason to attack. You see, it's the PR, it's the hype, it's the buildup that lets you know it's staged.
9 hours a day with a KU.
And just like clockwork, I told you, they're going to start saying that Iranian terrorists are going to attack federal buildings in the United States. Now you're being told they're going to attack any minute. They're busting fake patsies. They're saying brace for all of this. They're saying domestic groups are working with them. We're going to have highway checkpoints. They're now saying everything for a decade they've been gearing up for. And people are like, but we haven't had any big terror attacks. Why are you doing urban warfare drills with the military in every major U.S. city? Why are you setting up highway checkpoints all over the country with the military and TSA? Why is the TSA popping up in Houston and Dallas, just where I live in Texas? Why are MPs from the Air Force, Army, on the streets of San Antonio searching people? I mean, this is on the news now. Troops come up to you with sidearms. I remember 4 years ago, Endgame, 5 years ago, and it showed troops running over with what looked like 45s. And people are like, well, troops carry Berettas. I know they were carrying 45s. I know guns. In fact, I own one of those. Screaming at me and cussing at me, videotaping them. And the bizarreness of it was just, I mean, it was in a bar district. well, it was actually Bob Madison Square Garden.
To the Power Hour Radio Show.
And they were there cheering on wrestlers that were getting off a bus walking in. And there were troops with guns running around. And I was saying, look how weird it is. And they run across the street. Well, I mean, it's an endgame cussing at me.
And get ready to rumble today.
But my point is there's been this giant military industrial complex buildup. The training manuals, you go to the drills, you get...